Good morning. Welcome to worship today. I want to point out a few announcements that are in here but are important, and so I just want to make sure we give some time to them. The first is that our backpack program at Davis Townsend, if you're not familiar with this, we're sending close to 50, we're not sending literal backpacks, but food to fill close to 50 backpacks for children that have been identified by the staff there as in need of that food at home. Every week we send those over. And that's a great ministry, but our funds for that are getting a little lower than they normally are. It's more children than we usually have served in the last year and a half or so. So if that's something that you are able to give to, now would be a great time to do that. We'll likely have a fundraiser later in the spring, but just to make sure that those funds stay available for that. And then wanted to make sure that folks knew that our scout troop who lost their home in another congregation and came saying, could you help us? And this congregation responded. The scout troop has now had all of those boys who came over receive their Eagle Scouts, which is a great thing. The plan had been to move them to an adventure scout troop, which meant that older boys could participate ongoing. But logistically, that proved to not work out. And in the meantime, those boys are all moving on to other parts of their lives, which is exciting for them too. So at this point, the scout troop for the immediate future is closing down operation. So I just want you all to be aware of that, because I know we've got folks who faithfully give to support the scout troop. Perhaps if you're one of those, you might consider supporting the backpack program instead. I think this is not something we have to lament, because the reason that this is where we find ourselves is because all those boys became Eagle Scouts. We were able to help them do what they were trying to do, so I think we ought to celebrate that. If there comes another season, we'll be here, right, when that's needed. But that's kind of where we are right now with the Boy Scouts. So we celebrate that achievement of those boys, and we look toward the future. Do want to make sure folks who are treasurers with any of the congregation funds know that the audit has been scheduled for the 28th of January, and if you will see one of the audit committee folks, because I don't have a time slot for you to tell you what your slot is, but it's probably the same slot you had last year, but if you have questions about that, do see one of the audit committee folks. Are there other announcements that we ought to be aware of this morning? We have several prayer shawls today, I believe.
We have one here for Dean Chapman. He's going to have surgery this week, so let's keep him in our prayers. And did you want to present this one?
You can, or I can. We have one for Steve Curry. This would be Johnny and Billy Curry's son, Steve Curry. They moved back from Texas sometime late last year to the Ledford area, and he has been in the hospital going on a couple of weeks now with a lung disorder that is not well understood, but is pretty serious. So if you'll bless that one for Steve Curry. I had a couple of other additions to the prayer list that I wanted to let you know about. Anne Marie Evans, who was Pastor Michael Evans' wife, her mother has passed away, so we're going to keep their family in our prayers. And then having just removed Kay Kepley, who was doing a lot better, from the prayer list, she had another fall. So we're going to put Kay Kepley back on our prayer list. And then want to also keep the family of Jean Sink, Dwight Everhart's sister, in our prayers. She passed away. Her funeral is going to be 2 o'clock tomorrow at Mount Tabor with a 1 o'clock viewing, so we'll keep that family in our prayers. If there are no other announcements this morning, and I'm not seeing any, we'll wish happy birthday to Amy, and happy anniversary to Anthony and Susan. Is there anybody we ought to add to that list? And April's birthday was Friday, so we'll wish happy birthday to April Steele as well. That's right. Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you'll excuse me today, I'm not going to shake anybody's hand because we have had the ick at our house, and you don't want the ick at your house if you can avoid it. So I'm going to have Andy's going to distribute the bread at communion today, and I'm not going to shake any hands, so you'll excuse me if I scoot out soon after church, but it's in everyone's best interest. We'll continue this morning with our prelude. We stand as we begin on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Offering forgiveness, love, and joy. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Let us pray. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, most merciful Redeemer, for the countless blessings and benefits you give. May we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day praising you with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If there are children who want to join me up here for the children's sermon. Good morning. Okay, we're going to do some acting out this morning. Calvin's coming this way. So, let's see. This is a story about a high priest. You guys know what a priest is? You guys know what a priest is? A priest is like a pastor, okay? So this story is about a high priest, meaning the oldest and wisest of the priests, the one with the tallest hat and the best robes, okay? And that priest is named Eli. Can you say that?
Eli.
Eli, great, okay. So there's Eli, and then there's a young boy. We don't know exactly how old. He might be about the age of some of these young boys up here, or he might be a little bit older, but there's a boy, and his name is Samuel. Can you say Samuel?
Samuel.
Okay, so can we act this out? I need an Eli. Who wants to be the high priest with the tall hat? Can you guys both be Eli? Yeah, okay. So you guys, here's what's going to happen. You guys are right here. Eli's right here. And it's night, so what do you think Eli's doing? Sleeping. Okay, can you lay down and sleep? Okay, so you're sleeping. Can you guys both be Samuel? Okay, I tell you what. You guys are going to be Samuel, and you're going to lay down and sleep right here because it's night. So come over this way and lay down. Now, Samuel and Eli are both asleep, okay? And Samuel, who's Samuel? You're Samuel, right? Samuel hears somebody calling him. And so, what does he do? He gets up. Samuel gets up. Eli's asleep. Eli's the only one else around. Who do you think was calling him? There's only one person here. It's Eli. So, you know what Samuel does? Samuel comes over here and he says, "What is it? What is it, Eli? Come over here. Wait, wake up, Eli, right here. Eli, wake up." Samuel says, what do you need? You were calling me. But did you call them? No. So Eli says, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed. You must be dreaming." So he lays back down and goes to sleep. Samuel lays back down and goes to sleep. Okay, you can pretend. You can be right here. You're sleeping. Give me one of these. Okay, you're sleeping. Samuel is sleeping, and he hears somebody calling him again. So he wakes up. Who could it have been? It must be Eli. Eli's the only one here, so he comes over, and he says, "Eli, I'm here. Wake up. What do you need?" Wait a minute. Eli, did you call them? No, it wasn't Eli. Okay, go back to sleep. I don't know what's going on. This is weird. You guys go back to sleep for me here. And a third time, Samuel hears somebody calling him, okay? And this time, he goes and wakes up Eli, says, "Okay, Eli, wake up. What do you need?" Eli's like, "Whoa, I did not call you. I've not called you at all," okay? And Eli realizes something. You know what Eli realizes? The one calling God is, the one calling Samuel is God, okay? He says, "Here's what you do. When you hear this calling again, you say, 'Here I am, Lord,'" okay? So come over here. Samuel is asleep. Eli is asleep. Can you guys give me a sleep? Okay. And Samuel hears somebody calling him. And this time, Samuel says, "Here I am, Lord." Okay, so you ready? On three, I want you to say, "Here I am, Lord." All right? One, two, three. "Here I am, Lord." Perfect. Okay, perfect. Now, everybody, back up here on the steps, please. We're all awake. We're all ourselves. What happens is God has a job for Samuel to do. Even though Samuel is just a young boy and Eli is an old, important priest with fancy robes and a tall hat, God has a job for Samuel to do. So it's pretty cool. God doesn't just use adults. God doesn't just use priests. God calls us all and has something for us to do. For Samuel, that was a message that he wanted Samuel to bring to the people. But God also calls us to care for those in need, to follow Jesus. That's what God calls us to do, which is pretty cool, even though we're kind of young, right? We're kids up here. I'll put myself with you guys. I'll be a kid. Even though we're kids, God has stuff for us to do too, which is really cool. Will you guys pray with me? Repeat after me. Dear God, you call us. Help us to listen to you. Amen. Thank you guys for acting out with me. Children's Church, you can line up at that door right there, and if you'll wait for Miss Crystal.
First reading comes from the book of 1 Samuel. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not gone out yet. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you again, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. The word of the Lord. Psalm for today is Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts far from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Second reading is from the First Corinthians, excuse me. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh, but anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael asked him, where did you get to know me? Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Nathanael replied, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered, do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? you will see greater things than these. And he said to him, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May be seated. Okay, so we're going to start with a map this morning, so you can just go ahead and go to sleep now if you need to. Let's see if I can see where we are from here. So what we've got up here on this map is more or less Israel in the days of the New Testament. Now, Israel at that point was not a political country the way that it is now because of the Roman occupation, but this was the region of Israel. And if you were a Jew, the center of the world, let me see if I can get over here, the center of the world was Jerusalem, right here. Just for some reference, this is the Mediterranean Sea. The Sea of Galilee is up here. The Dead Sea is right here. So Jerusalem is the center of the world in New Testament times, if you are a Jew. And that's because Jerusalem is where the temple was located. And in Jesus' day, the temple is a pretty imposing sight. It was said, we have records of ancient writers who report that even visitors from Rome were impressed by this temple. But beyond the architecture, the temple, Jerusalem, there was this sense that as the host of the temple, Jerusalem was the center of all religious life. It's where good Jews had to go to make sacrifices. It's where you wanted to be when the big religious festivals were held. Jerusalem was the place to be if you wanted to be close to God. And then apart from religious life, Jerusalem was the political capital of the region too, housing all the government bureaucracy. Militarily, Jerusalem sits up in the hills, and so it's a defensible area, especially because of the fact that it had significant city walls at this point. So if you're talking about Israel, Jerusalem was where everything important happened. And I don't know if you can tell from where you are on this map, if you see these dotted lines running here, all the dotted lines, where do they converge? Jerusalem, right? All roads lead to Jerusalem at this point. And so, as Nathanael so brazenly points out in the gospel this morning, contrasted with the grandeur of Jerusalem's religious and political importance, way up here on the map is in this area is Nazareth, okay? And Nazareth, politically, economically, militarily, has nothing of note going on at all. It's a small backwater town, not a place anybody would really have any reason to visit. It was mainly an agricultural community, and it certainly wouldn't even be on this map if not for the fact that it was the hometown of Jesus. Religiously, well, all of the region known as Galilee, of which Nazareth sort of makes up the southern part, the region of Galilee was always a little bit suspect on the religious front because, yeah, you could be a good Jew and live in Galilee, but it was also the case that Galilee is mixed territory, meaning it wasn't just law-abiding Jews here. There were also non-believers mixed in, people who didn't keep or even consider God's law and how they lived their lives. So Nazareth, then, for about every reason you can think of, is not the kind of place that you expect to make a big splash on the religious scene, or really on any scene for that matter. And all of this is in the background as Philip finds Nathanael and in excitement tells him, we have found him about whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote. And it would be a safe assumption that if Philip has found somebody important, well, that he would come from the place of important people, right? Jerusalem. But then Philip tells him that it's Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth. And Nathanael isn't buying it. Nazareth, he's thinking, that place is a dump. Why would Moses and the prophets write about anybody from a dump? So he pours a bucket of cold water on Philip's excitement. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And what Philip does here, the way that he responds, is really interesting. He doesn't argue with Nathanael about the merits of Nazareth or the benefits of Jesus as an outsider, right? He simply issues an invitation. Come and see. We could use more of this. Because while real debate certainly has its place, arguing to prove that I am right and therefore you are wrong, whether we're talking about politics or religion, what good does it tend to do? It rarely changes the other person's mind. Often, all that it does is make us angry at the other party who wouldn't listen, make us feel superior to them for being able to see things the way that they really are. But come and see. It invites an entirely different experience. It acknowledges the complexity, the humanity of both parties, and it extends an invitation to be part of something, to experience something. Come and see. It's a beautiful way to talk about evangelism, to talk about inviting people into the life of a community that follows Jesus. The invitation works on Nathanael. And you know what happens? This brash guy who expected that nothing good could ever come out of a place that was less developed economically, of little significance, far from the seat of power. When Nathanael comes and sees, he's encountered by none other than Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Israel, the one who will go on to trample down death and shatter the gates of hell, true God from true God among us. And he came from Nazareth, the last place anybody would expect. Kind of makes you wonder, where do you think Jesus might show up and be from today? A dump? A hovel? Perhaps someplace we might describe with even more colorful and offensive language. Where do we think we could see the face of Jesus? Wouldn't it be in the faces of those we have written off as coming from countries that are dumps? Because we know from Matthew's gospel that it's in the least of these in whom we encounter the risen Christ. There's that old joke, right, where the first guy walks up to the second and says, "Have you found Jesus?" And the second guy says, "No, I didn't even know he was lost." And it's funny because of the wordplay, yes, but it also gets at something. It doesn't really seem to be the case, in my experience, that we can go around finding Jesus. It's actually the opposite, right? Jesus finds us. And that's the thing about this story that I love. Jesus encounters Philip, encounters Nathanael. They aren't looking for him, as far as we know. They aren't seekers or looking to be born again. But Jesus finds them. Philip, follow me. And then Nathanael. Nathanael's just hanging out in the shade under a tree, skeptical that anything could come out of this boy from Nazareth. But Jesus encounters him too, and it changes his whole world. Jesus encounters them, and that's all that it takes. The good news for us, then, is that God, who made all people, values and cares for all that God has made, Even the people we in our arrogance have written off as beneath us or unworthy. And because God cares for all God has made, in Jesus Christ, God encounters me and God encounters you. Whether or not we're looking for it, whether we're seekers or skeptics, God claims us, calls us, and promises greater things than these. Come and see. Amen.
Please join in saying what we believe in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
confident that God, our light and our salvation, hears us when we pray, let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. Gracious God, we pray for the church throughout the world and for all called to its various ministries, that the Holy Spirit invite us and others to come and see. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the well-being of creation, for plants that provide nourishment, for animals that tend their young, that your goodness will be revealed through all creation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations and all in authority, for advocates, for those who work for racial justice, for officers of the peace, and for our community, that all people may thrive together in harmony and order. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are oppressed. We pray for those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Especially we lift up Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Madeline, Barbara, Bill and Betty, Steve, the family of Jean, the family of Anne Marie's mother, Kay, and all those we name now. Dorothy. We pray for caregivers and families. We pray for those who grieve and cannot sleep, that comfort will come to those in any distress. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for travelers and those unable to attend worship today. We pray for members of our community celebrating special events and for all those who request prayers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In thanksgiving, Lord, for those who followed Christ and now rest from their labors, especially Martin Luther King Jr. commemorated this week, that the witness of all who have gone before would provide a model of prophetic leadership and tireless justice making. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, you hear our prayers even before we speak them. Receive them for the sake of the one through whom you have revealed your goodness, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace.
God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan you proclaimed him your beloved Son, and in the miracle of water turned to wine he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
The gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son, by the Holy Spirit strengthening us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement on page 5 of your bulletin. As united people of God,
under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.